Take your Bibles now and turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. We're going to take a short break from the book of Mark. We're going to look at the songs of ascents. I'm going to preach through a few of those during the summer. The songs of ascents are Psalms 120 to 134. There's 15 psalms with this title. If you look in the Bible, you'll see under those psalms, those numbers, they each has that title, a song of ascents. So we're going to start with Psalm 121. Listen to the eternal Word of God. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And that's where we'll end the reading of God's Word. There was a popular song that came out a few years ago, sung by Bette Midler, called called From a Distance. And most of us, I'm guessing all of us, maybe, have heard the song before, and I'm guessing that some of us could even sing along with the song. The chorus of the song goes like this: God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. And it's this spiritual, religious kind of song that's often played on the radio. And it's often been played during times of tragedy. I remember hearing this song played during the time of Hurricane Katrina and dedicated to the victims of Hurricane Katrina. It's a song that it was played in tribute to them to bring them comfort. It's also, this song has made its way into churches, into the religious worship of God, into Christian worship services. God is watching us. It sounds pretty good. But have you ever really listened to that song? Have you ever listened to the words of that song? I'm going to read a few of the stanzas of that song. It says, from a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagles take to flight. From a distance, there's harmony, and it echoes through the land. From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need, and there are no guns, no bombs, and no disease, no hungry mouths to feed. God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. On the surface, it sounds comforting, maybe with the music that accompanies it. But really, if this song were true, it would be pretty devastating to us. The song says God is watching us. He's watching this whole world, but he's so far away, he's so removed from the world itself that everything looks peaceful and calm. He doesn't see people who are hungry, who are fighting. He doesn't see the fighting, the hatred, the war. He doesn't see the oppression. He doesn't see people who are in need. He doesn't see the pains that are in your life. He thinks everything is going well. He's a God so far removed from the world that he's oblivious and naive to what's actually going on. Does this kind of God give us comfort? Imagine if you were at home all alone, a six-year-old, you're home all alone. The house has run out of food, you're sick, you broke your arm and your leg, some strangers come in now and again to beat on you, you get locked in your room. It's a terrible life. Terrible life. But you manage to find a phone. And you call your father. He's away on business. And you call him and you say, Dad, I need your help. Well, what if your dad said, well, I just checked on Google Earth and I looked at the house and I've been checking it every day. I'm checking in on you. And it looks good from here. You look fine. I mean, it doesn't look like anything's going wrong. You can take care of yourself. Things aren't as bad as you're saying they are. Everything looks peaceful from here. And he hangs up. You're crushed because you know your dad is going to be no help to you. Your dad's oblivious to all the stuff you're going through and he's no help. Well, this is the kind of father that this is the kind of God that Bette Midler sings about. You're fine. You can take care of yourself. God's watching us from a distance. He's oblivious to the struggles and you can handle those Hurricane Katrinas on your own. Is that comforting? God's oblivious to your pain, so don't expect Him to help. Is that comforting? Well, Psalm 121 gives us a supremely different picture and offers us real comfort in hard times. It's a picture of a God who is actively watching over us. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He sees the brokenness. He sees the trouble. He's not oblivious. He's watching from a distance. He's not watching from a distance. He's watching you, over you, right next to you. He's helping you, watching over you. This is the song that brings comfort to us in the midst of trouble. This is the song that assures us, that assures you, that your Father, the Maker of heaven and earth, is watching over you, and nothing can happen to you apart from His goodwill. As you travel through this life, take comfort, because your Father is actively watching over you. As I told you before, I read Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is a part of a package. It's a part of the Songs of Ascents. And there's been a lot of speculation as to how these 15 Psalms, these Songs of Ascents, how they're used, or how they were used in the Old Testament. And one of the more common opinions is that these Psalms were sung by the Israelites as they made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the temple. There were three annual feasts that all the Jews had to attend at the temple. And so no matter how far away you lived, you had to travel to Jerusalem. And they may have sung these songs as they traveled. And they were called the Songs of Ascents, the theory goes. They were called the Songs of Ascents because Jerusalem was on a mountain, and it was a part of a mountain range. So as you traveled to Jerusalem, you ascended to the hill of God. So these are traveling songs to the hill of God. Well, Psalm 121 in particular has often been referred to as the Traveler's Psalm. It's a song that brings special comfort to those who are traveling through the unknown. Before David Livingston set out to Africa, to where he spent most of his life as a missionary and an explorer, he read Psalm 121 in worship. And his mother-in-law often wrote to him in one of the letters she wrote, she said that Psalm 121 was always on her mind as she thought about and prayed for him. The song was an encouragement to them as he was traveling through the unknown. But this song is not only an encouragement to those who are exploring another country or doing something outrageous or adventurous, but it's an encouragement to us as well. Oftentimes throughout the Bible, life is referred to as a journey. We're traveling through this land. Or the Christian life is often referred to as a race that we're to run, a race that's marked out for us. And this journey that we're going through in this life is filled with lots of unknowns. We don't know the obstacles that lay in front of us. We can't be sure of what's going to happen today. We don't know what will happen tomorrow or next week. Our future is filled with unknowns. So whether you're traveling through Africa or you're traveling to the store or you're just traveling to the kitchen, this psalm gives us great hope and great comfort. The psalm begins with the question, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? You can picture a man traveling on a hard road through life. And he's overwhelmed by his circumstances. His head is down. His eyes and his mind are fixed on those things that are grinding away at his life, the troubles of life. He's focused on these waves, these troubles that are breaking over his head. And he's overwhelmed. His head is down. Well, in the middle of his troubles, he comes to the realization that he cannot do this on his own. He realizes that if he tries this all alone, these troubles are going to overwhelm him and he will drown. They're going to kill him. So he lifts up his eyes looking for help. He takes his eyes off of his hard circumstances, off of those waves that are crashing over him. He lifts his eyes to the hills. Asking this question, where does my help come from? Who's going to help me through this? Who can I count on to be with me, to help me, to sustain me? I cannot do this on my own. I need help. He's looking for help. It says he looks to the hills. Why was he looking to the hills? What's so significant about the hills? Well, the hills were very significant in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they were referred to as the high places. The peaks of the hills were often the location for worship. And depending on which mountain you went to, that was the god that you worshipped. So on one hill, you could worship the god of the Canaanites. On another hill, you could worship Baal. On another hill, you could go and worship the god of Asher at the Asherah poles. You know, today, if you go to Athens, Greece, pretty much from anywhere in the old city of Athens, you can see the Parthenon, which was the temple for the goddess Athena. The temple was built on the peak of the hill in the middle of the city. And that's where everyone went to worship. The hills, the mountain peaks, were symbolic of the many different gods that are worshipped. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Which god will help me through this? Who will help me weather this storm? Who will sustain me during this time? And you can sort of picture this man looking at all the various mountain peaks, going through these gods in his mind. I could worship the god of Dagon, the god of the Philistines, but he's in fact a lifeless stone carved by human hands. Or I could go worship the god of Asher. This time it's a wooden post carved by human hands. Or I could go worship the fickle and erratic and selfish god of Baal, or Molech, who required child sacrifices. He lifts his eyes, to the mountain peaks, wondering who will help him. Finally, his eyes come to the mountain of God, to Mount Zion. On this mountain is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is the mountain of the loving, sovereign God. I could worship these lifeless idols, the gods of the nations who are actually no gods at all. They have no power. Or I could worship the all-powerful, loving creator of the heavens and the earth. I lift up my eyes. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There is no reason to be afraid because the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, is with me. He is my helper. He will help me through these storms. As we travel through life, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's raging on around us, by all the waves and the wind, all the troubles that surround us, and we can grow very fearful and discouraged, deeply discouraged. The waves look overpowering, and sometimes it feels like we're not going to survive, we're not going to make it through the day. It's easy to lose sight of everything else and focus simply on our problems. We mull things over and over in our minds, and they pull us down deeper into depression, being overwhelmed or anxious or worried. You mull things over in your mind as you lie in bed and you can't sleep. I call you to lift up your eyes. Take your eyes off of those things. Lift them up to the mountain of God. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, is your helper. The all-powerful and loving God is the one who will sustain you. He is with you. He will sustain you through that storm. You remember the story of Peter, the Apostle Peter, walking on water. Peter and his disciples were out in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the night. It was bad circumstances. Jesus came out to them. He walked towards them, walking on water, and the disciples were afraid. They thought that he was a ghost. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. It is I." Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water. And he came toward Jesus. But do you know what happened to him? He was distracted by the wind. He was distracted by the storm that was around him. He took his eyes off of Jesus. He saw the wind and the waves, the troubles. And he began to sink. He was frightened. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why do you doubt? Why do you doubt me? I'm right here. I'm right next to you. I'll help you through these storms. There's no reason to be afraid. It's easy in the middle of the storm to take your eyes off of God, to focus only on the wind and the waves, to focus on the storm. It's easy to shut your eyes to everything else. What God calls us to do is shift, to make a shift, to take your eyes off of these troubles and to look to the hill of God. To look to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is the one who sustains us. Are you going through difficult times? Are your eyes focused on these troubles, on these waves? Do these things consume your thoughts? Are these the things that you mull over in your mind as you lie awake in bed? What are your eyes fixed on? What are your thoughts fixed on? When you grow overwhelmed by the storm, as you grow anxious, worried, depressed, discouraged, you must first come to the realization that you will not make it on your own. You will not make it through this journey without help. If you try on your own, you're going to be pulled under. You're going to be pulled under those waves. So what are you going to do when you're overwhelmed? There's lots of gods that you could choose from. There's lots of gods to this world, of this world, that you could choose from. Do you find your comfort on the mountain peak of the god of money? If I just had more money, I could get out of this problem. Or to the god of fiction and fantasy. I'm just going to forget about all my problems. I'm going to drown them away with movies and television or drugs or alcohol. We can use them in similar ways to just drown out the pain. There are lots of gods to run to in this world. But only one will actually help you. Lift up your eyes to the hill of God, to Mount Zion. The only real help is God, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lift your eyes to the hill of God. As you travel through this life, you're going to need help. Take your eyes off of your circumstances, off of the storm. Lift your eyes to Mount Zion, to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is our helper. He is our helper in the midst of trouble. Fix your eyes on Him. Now the rest of this psalm is filled with the wonderful promises explaining exactly how God is our helper. In this short psalm, one Hebrew verb is repeated 6 times, and it could be translated as watching, protecting, and keeping, all wrapped into one. Watching, protecting, and keeping. And in these three words are really combined into that one Hebrew verb. And in our NIV translations, they're translated as watching, but it has the understanding of protecting and keeping. The watching here isn't a watching from the distance to see how you're going to do on your own, but it's this careful protection of a God who's with you, who walks with you, who watches over you. Listen to this word for watching as I read through the passage again, starting with verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep, the same word, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, now and forevermore. He is repeating again and again, assuring us that God is watching us. God is not some distant God. He's your watchman. He's a faithful protector of His children. What's the extent to which God is watching us? There's lots of people who think that God has a lot on His plate, and He does. They think that He's too busy to actually spend that much time on us individually all the time. Yeah, He checks in on us to make sure we're doing all right, but does He actually constantly watch over me individually wherever I go? When this psalm, it says that He who watches over you will neither slumber nor sleep. He's always on watch. He's always on duty. He never checks out. He's always watching over you individually. He says, He who watches over you will not sleep. He who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So He watches over you individually, and He watches over us collectively as the people of God. He watches over Israel. So He watches over us constantly. It says in verses 5 and 6, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. What does it mean that the sun will not harm you and the moon will not harm you? I guess on a day like this, if you're out too long, the sun can give you heat stroke or sunstroke. But how could the moon harm us? What does he mean by this? Well, the psalmist is really saying in figurative language that nothing can harm us day or night. While the sun is out, nothing will harm you. While the moon is out, nothing will harm you. Because God is always on guard. God is always on duty, watching over us, watching over you. He doesn't need sleep like us. He can multitask like you wouldn't believe. He has His full and complete attention on you. And at the same time, His full and complete attention on you and you and you and everyone here. And at the exact same time, He has His full and complete attention on His people in China, in Africa, in South America, all over this world. He pays full attention. I remember trying to talk to my mom while she's talking on the phone, and I could never get a good answer from her because she couldn't be into two conversations at once. God is fully aware at all times, giving full attention to you every time, every moment of every day, watching over you. That's the extent of His watching. Well, what's the extent of His protection? It says that He'll not let your foot slip. The Lord will keep you from all harm. The Lord will watch your coming and your going both now and forevermore. The psalm says that no harm will ever come to us because the sovereign God watches over us. That not even our foot would slip. Well, how could this be true? I tell you, I've sprained my ankle numerous times because my foot lands wrong. It lands on someone else's foot while I'm jumping, and it hurts. My foot slips. God here promises that our foot will never slip. Well, why does that happen then? What's going on? He promises to protect us from all harm. And actually, a better word to translate that, He protects us from everything bad. He'll protect us from everything bad. How could that be true? I mean, obviously, our lives are filled with it's filled with pain. Sometimes it feels like we're covered in wounds. Has He failed to protect us? Why is my marriage so hard? Why are my kids being drawn away by the world? Why do I wrestle all day long with my thoughts and my emotions? Why am I lonely? Why does my body ache every day, all day long? Why? Thought God would keep us from these things. Why does disease and illness plague me? Why does it plague those I love? How do we make sense of this promise that the Lord will keep us from all harm in the context of real life? How do we make sense of the pain that has plagued our lives if God has promised to keep away everything that's bad? Has God failed in His promise? Well, absolutely not. That cannot happen. God cannot fail. He will always be true to His promises. But then how can we understand this? Romans 8, 28 and 29 says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. And then skipping to 29, who have been predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son. When God created mankind, we were created beautifully. Perfectly created in the image of God. We were created as mirrors to reflect God's glory here on earth. But because of sin, that image of God that we were created to be was smashed. It was as if that mirror were dropped on the ground and broke to a million pieces. We still retain the image of God, but in fragments. It's now broken and ugly. But the promise of the gospel, the promise of Jesus Christ, is that for everyone who believes in the gospel, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, God is putting you back together. He's putting that shattered mirror back together. We are predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son. And this is good, but it's often a painful process. I know a guy who broke his nose And he didn't go to the doctor for a few weeks. He went to the doctor eventually, and his nose had been broken badly, but it healed wrong. And in order to set the nose right, the doctor had to break it again. He had to break it in order to set it right. It was a painful procedure, and usually patients are put under for the procedure. So they're asleep, so they don't feel it. But breaking the nose is painful. But the doctor does it to set it right, so it'll heal well. You and I, we're stuck in our sinful ways. Those broken pieces of mirror are stuck in cement, and they need to be broken out. We need to be broken again and again and again in order to be put back together into the image of God. He's putting the mirror back together, but it's a hard process. So the pains and the troubles that you face are not a result of God's neglect or unfaithfulness to this promise, but God has brought them into your life to bring about your good, to conform you to the image of Christ. You may not know exactly why. You can't see exactly why or for what exact reason He's bringing things into your life. But God promises that He will keep you from everything bad. Meaning that He will not let anything come into your life unless He knows that it's going to be good for you. It may be painful right now, but it's good. We rejoice in these things. He's constantly watching over you, caring for you, putting you back together, and nothing will happen to you apart from God's goodwill. Your foot will not slip. He will keep you from all harm. The struggles that you face are no accident, but in God's great love, He's using these things to put you back together into His image. That's a great thing for us. That's the greatest thing we could hear. These promises here in Psalm 121, these truths should be a great comfort to us as we journey through this difficult and challenging life. Should not only give comfort to those of us who go and explore another continent, but it should give us great comfort as we explore life here in Western Pennsylvania, in Ohio. It should be a great comfort to us every step of the way. God guides our every step. God is not watching us from a distance. He's not naive to what's going on in the world or in your life. He's watching over His people. He's watching over us. He's watching over you, protecting you from all harm, guiding you every step of the way. Growing up, my parents would take turns tucking me into bed. And as they rubbed my back, they often sang to me a verse in Psalm 3. And it says, I lay down, slept, and woke again. The Lord is keeping me. I will not fear 10,000 men entrenched surrounding me. And after my parents walked out of the room, I was left with the image of 10,000 bloodthirsty warriors surrounding my bed. Not usually the image you want to give to your child when he's ready to go to sleep. But it was the image of these soldiers surrounding my bed, entrenched with guns and bombs, but I'm in my bed with a smile on my face, fast asleep. Because I know that even in that circumstance, God is watching over me. That's the concept that gave me comfort over years and years that I've lived. It's the comfort that we have as the children of God. As you travel through this life, as you come in, as you go out, as you go to bed at night, as you wake up in the morning, your loving God, your Father, is your helper. And He's actively watching over you. Lift up your eyes to the Lord, for He is keeping you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this great promise. That no matter where we are in life, no matter the circumstances, You are with us, next to us, watching over us, protecting us. Remind us of this promise, especially during those hard times. Remind us of the promise that You will keep us from all harm. That You will not let anything come into our lives unless You are completely convinced, unless You know for sure that it will be for our good. Please continue to conform us into the image of Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.